Everyone ready? Good afternoon and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
I'm calling to order the Jefferson County Public Hospital District Number 2 Board of Commissioners meeting on Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. This is being officially audio recorded and times shown on the agenda are estimates only. We try to stick to them, but no guarantees. So the first item of business is to approve the agenda. There is an addition to the agenda with your approval, and that is Resolution 2017-2 relating to superintendent employment agreement. That is the package that we voted on at the last meeting for our superintendent. So I believe we should insert it just before the business of the board, after Resolution 2017-01 and after the educational presentation. So is there a motion to approve with that?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Thank you. So to begin, we have Jackie. There you are, our Chief Nursing Officer, Ms. Zukoski, who will give us a patient story.
Hello, everybody, and Happy New Year. I thought that I would share a story about end of life. Just to kind of give you a little background, you know, the primary goal of intensive care medicine is really to help patients survive acute threats to their lives while preserving the life and the quality of the patient's life. And generally, we meet these goals in ICU about 75 to 80% of the time. But nationally, about 22% of patients who are admitted to the intensive care die there. So admission to the ICU is often just a therapeutic trial, and it's only when that trial fails that patients and families need to consider a change in their goals from restorative care to palliative care. And this is sometimes referred to as a transition from cure to comfort. This is a critical juncture for nurses and physicians who care for patients in the intensive care. And it's really one of the most important aspects of the care that we provide to patients. Since only 1 in 4 seniors have advanced directives, and even fewer seniors have a deep and meaningful conversation with their family after completing the advanced directives, there's also often a lot of confusion amongst the family when a patient really has reached that point where we are moving into kind of what we call futile care, where there is nothing that we can do to really restore that patient to a functional way of life. And so the story that I wanted to share was actually one that was quite interesting and I got called in to assist with, because in this case the patient had many different medical problems, and at some point he had a discussion with his primary care physician and actually completed an advanced directive, and he was very clear in his wishes around end of life. But what didn't happen was a conversation with his children. And so months after he completed his advanced directive, he was in the intensive care unit. There was really nothing that we could do to restore him back to where he was prior to his admission. And he was on life support. And had we removed that life support, he would have died. The children actually didn't believe the advanced directive. And even though we showed it to them, you could see the patient's signature, they just didn't believe that their father signed that and somehow thought that he had completed this under duress, which really is not logical thinking. I mean, this happened a long time ago and in the physician's office, but you know, they were desperate for any reason to not have to make that hard decision of honoring the father's wishes. And so it was only after several lengthy care conferences that were led very, very well by one of our hospitalists, where he took a long time to really explain what was happening to their father and how there was really nothing that we could do to restore his health, they were finally able to come together and make that hard decision of removing the life support. So I think the message I would just love to convey, and I know you all do this, is that it is important to have advanced directives, but even more importantly, you have to have that hard conversation with your loved ones.
Thank you.
Good reminder.
Okay. We will go on to the minutes now, and before you, I have given you a packet, Tony. Commissioner DeLeo has requested some amendments and changes to the minutes, so I've printed this out and coordinated them with the actual minutes, so we can either, you can read them and we can follow along and we can do them one at a time, or you can approve them all at once. Do we have a motion to approve them at once, or would you rather do them one at a time? Commissioner Call.
I move that the amended minutes be approved with one additional letter B on that cover page, that final word gave also should be crossed out in order to make it in the second line, the final word gave, if that's crossed out, and it makes grammatical sense.
Good catch.
And I did listen to the minutes, so I feel competent to make the motion to adopt these minutes as amended.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second, but I'd like to make another amendment. And that is
amendment to the amendment.
For clarification, because it was reported that I thanked the administration for, well, first of all, the staff and employees for the hard work they've done. And the administration as well, and that, and also thank the administration for the Christmas party lunch, and it was recorded in the minutes as a Christmas party, and I didn't want anybody to think that we were having gala events, but it's an employee's staff meal, Christmas or holiday meal that I would. So I'd like to amend that to either just add lunch to the Christmas party lunch or Christmas meal.
Which would you prefer?
It makes no difference to an
employee appreciation.
Employee appreciation holiday lunch, there you go.
All right. We'll take that one first, and all in favor of that amendment.
Of which I'll second.
Of which you're second, then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, now the original motion from Commissioner Call with the second by Commissioner Dressler. Is there further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Phew. Thank you. So we move right down to required approvals, the surplus equipment, resolution 2017-01.
Move approval is submitted.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now. We have an educational presentation from Mr. Rick Thompson, who is the superintendent of the Chimicken School District. It's our pleasure and our honor to have you here.
Thank you. And
thank
I'd also like
much.
To introduce Bo Young, who's our IT director. And Bo has been with us now for many, many months and is trying to rewire our whole school district, and it's no small doing.
So I want to spend, hi everybody, I'm Rick, I'm the Chimicken superintendent. I'm going to spend just a few minutes with you going over some very simple school finance issues. And before I get too far into that, I want to congratulate you on this new facility. It's my first time in here, driving by, beautiful, but inside it's, we don't have a room like this in the school, just guys want to tell you. This is fantastic. And I also want to share my appreciation for all the partnerships we have with the healthcare community in the school district. They're far and wide and they're all important. Because every child that's healthy and awake and alert is a child who can learn. So thank you for that. So real brief, a quick handout. I'm not here to pitch a bond like I did a year ago. I came after Jeff Randall last year and Port Townsend passed at a resoundingly high number. We ran in February, we ran in April, we got to 59.3%, which was not enough. So, but that's not today's presentation. No bonds, okay, just so people know. I'm just here to visit with you about a replacement levy. In 2014, the
the school district ran just a basic maintenance and operations levy, and it passed. And so this, that levy's expiring this year. Now we're in 2017, and so we're asking the voters to renew the basic educational levy. It's 4 years. The levy history, the recent levy history, Jim, becomes very good. It's all over 60% yes. This measure requires 50%. We would love 70% or 80%. We'll take 50 plus one. But the history in the last few has been 60. It's 22% of our school district revenue, and it pays for staffing, maintenance, parts of our facilities, curriculum, textbooks, the things that the state does not adequately provide funding for. That's about it. That's about my pitch. I'll just give you a couple other just real basic things. We do have a committee that's working on the communications of the levy, getting the community to understand why it's important, and helping people understand we're just replacing an existing tax. This is not a new tax that people see on their property tax statement. It's just, it's basically replacing what's already there. We still have an all mail-in ballot. The ballots will be out here really just in a few days toward the end of the month. I did see in the paper today in the leader there was a, they have to publish the election. So there are very, as far as I know right now, there are very few other things on the ballot for Valentine's Day, which happens to be the 14th here. SQUIM is running an M&O levy and a capital levy to do some facilities issues, and that's pretty much the chemical replacement. That's about it. So it shouldn't really be a complicated ballot, in my opinion. Like I said, last time, 2014, we were at 64% yes. If we didn't have the levy, I can assure you that the school district would look dramatically different than it does today, and we just don't want to go there until we have to. If we were, in the worst case scenario, not to pass, we would rerun it in April. Interestingly, in Chimicum, the M&O levy is required to be run in the February election. So that's the way it goes. One other distinction I want to draw in the levy is, because we are the McCleary district, and anybody who's following the media, following the papers, understanding school funding and finance, it gets a little complicated right now. So because McCleary happens to work in our school district, people think they get certain things sort of confused. So let's separate it. The McCleary lawsuit is about K-12 funding statewide. The lawsuit was upheld in court and upheld by the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is continuing to hold the legislature in contempt for not adequately funding K-12 education. I do agree with the governor's assessment that we're getting into the fourth quarter, because the legislature's put considerable money into the K-12 system, but now dealing with teacher compensation, some other sort of sizable variables, we are getting toward the end, but we're needing some more revenue. The reason I raise that is because this vote will take place weeks, if not months, before the legislature begins to even address it or resolve it in any meaningful way. Legislature is supposed to conclude on the 23rd of April. The last two long sessions have gone till the 30th of June. So we need to know our local revenue to make staffing and budget decisions for the opening of school in the fall. And I will commend our legislature. We work with Steve Flanger, we work with our local people. We've made tremendous gains. We have full-day kindergarten now. We have good K-3 class size. We've got some nice maintenance operational support. But when you get into the core teacher salary issues, the kinds of special education support issues, some of the deeper secondary class size issues, we have a long way to go. But if for some reason the legislature really comes forward with K-12 funding, we're going to ask for the max in the levy. But if we there's a formula, we can't go beyond it. We will scale back whatever rollback to the voters is necessary if the legislature comes forward. The other misnomer I think a lot of people have about school levies is that if your property value goes up, your assessed valuation goes up, the school collects more money. We do not. We collect an aggregate amount based on what's said in the resolution, and that's it. We don't. Fire districts can do that. We can't. So our amount is set. It's a 4 years. The figures are in here. You can see how much it would cost you per thousand and how much aggregate the school district would collect per year. It's pretty simple, but I think in the context of some bond history in Chimicum, because we're this kind of a lighthouse state funding district, people kind of, I just got off the phone when I came here from a Ludlow resident. It gets a little complicated. Our website has some stuff about McCleary, some stuff about school funding,
some basic analysis for people to see. Last point, I want people to know where we sit in terms of sort of the hierarchy of requests. So I spent some time looking at our districts in Kitsap County. Interesting variables there, because you've got some Department of Defense monies there, some Navy money. As a whole, Kitsap counties are $3.14 per $1,000 of assessed valuation. Clallam's $2.18, Jefferson's $1.48. We're on the high end of Jefferson because we're higher than Port Townsend. Our assessed valuation's lower, but we collect more than Brennan and Wilson. So it's a good deal overall, I guess is my point, in terms of cost per thousand. I have colleagues in rural districts who look at that number and they would die for it. It's actually quite reasonable. So 4 years replacement. People ask about bond and what are we going to do in that. We're studying it. We're getting some help. We have a long way to go before we come back and ask voters for that. Okay? Thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the board?
So my question is, this is just within the Chemicum School District, or is it countywide?
Just the voters who are within the boundary of
Chemicum School District.
School District 49. Yeah. Yep. I don't believe Port Townsend doesn't have a levy this year. They just did their bond. They don't have a levy. No, we're the only one on this ballot.
Another question on page 4. I assume this is a school board resolution. Is that
yes? What you read or what the voters will read in their ballot is the exact same thing the school board approved in open session in the 26th of October, and they had to vote on it and take a roll call vote, and they said yes, and that's what it is.
And what is your current? And so this goes into effect 2018.
Yes, there's a 6 month gap in case. In the worst case where you would fail it, you don't run out of money immediately, they get you out of 6 months. We're slightly less than that for 2016-17.
So this is the 17-18 school year that you're talking about. Yes. Yes. Okay.
You know, we have a fiscal year, a school year, a state budget year. There's so many years of staffing years. We just like here, you gotta work all the details out. So thank you, appreciate it.
Are there any questions from the audience?
One more. Anything in particular you wanted from us as a board besides to keep us informed of the good work?
As a key communicator in the county, it's important to know, as you will do, how important it is to draw good schools, to draw good medical staff.
Absolutely.
You could help us, just anybody would comment on the street, say, it's critical to provide a good level of education for students. Until the state resolves these things at any meaningful level, the local support is critical. And frankly, think about this hospital system. If you lost 22% of your revenue, you could not run your hospital like you do now. Your whole system, 22%, a fifth, $1 out of $5 gone, what do you do? Or even a fraction of that. So moral support, on the street support, if you have the gumption later to do a resolution, that'd be great. I mean, we're not taking the levy for granted. The history tells us we're going to pass, but in this day and age, with all these variables, with some of the stuff we're seeing in government in general, I don't take anything for granted. There's no way. So I just appreciate the fact that you would have us in here to talk about it, because it's, if you look at it on the surface, it's not a hospital issue, but below the surface, this is a county. It's good schools are an issue, not just a
countywide.
We view it as a critical issue for us for the support of a strong healthcare system.
Yeah, that's right. And we need you, so thank you.
Very compelling.
If you don't mind, Bo and I are going to sneak out.
No, you have to stay. Listen to the whole thing.
Yes, I have a question for you. What would be the process for our bringing a resolution to our next meeting so that we can actually take an affirmative step?
Can we do that?
Yeah. So we will prepare a resolution on the agenda. We will indicate that it will be considered. So if someone would want to come and speak for or against that action, they will have the opportunity. And then you can vote on it.
Great.
That helps.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Commissioner,
since this is going to be a rather time sensitive thing, I assume we will waive first reading on that.
Sure. Go ahead and draft the resolution. We can have it prepared by the next meeting.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay, next is the resolution 2017-2, which is relating to superintendent employment agreement. There is one correction, one minor correction in this, the date in number two paragraph that's labeled number two. At the end of the line should be December 21st, 2016, which is the date that was actually voted on. So did you have a question?
Yeah, I just, on our agenda, we show public participation before we do that. Are we going to have public comment?
I believe that was, we can do that if
okay.
you'd like to.
No, it's, it, we can it was add it. The, on the agenda, so.
It wasn't necessarily for this because we didn't know this was going to be on it, but we can certainly have that.
Okay.
Add that. If that pleases the board.
It doesn't displease the board.
All right. Is there anybody who would like to make a comment? Once, twice, going on. All right.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead and is there a motion to approve resolution 2017-2?
So moved.
Didn't we already vote on this?
We did.
We did, but it's now it's a resolution.
A resolution is required to amend the CEO's compensation package, and you voted on a motion, so I think it's just.
Okay.
It's just ceremonial.
Second.
Basically. All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Abstained?
Abstained.
All right. So Commissioner Clough abstained, Commissioner DeLeo, Commissioner Dressler, Commissioner Bueller approved, and Commissioner Reddy disapproved, said nay. Okay, now we're to business of the board, election of officers. Is there a motion for a nomination for chair?
I'd like to move that we retain the current slate of officers. They've done an excellent job. I'd like to see the continuity going into this year of turmoil.
Well, second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we retain myself as chair and Commissioner Dressler as secretary. Is there another nomination? Any other nomination? All right.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Matt Reddy as chair.
All right, is there a second to the nomination? It does not, it dies for lack of a second.
Thank you.
So we will go ahead and vote on the current slate being retained for this
Could
year.
We have discussion?
Yes.
On motion? Just that I believe we had quite a bit of discussion at the time that we put together the board book in terms of trying to spread the opportunity for chairing this board amongst the different members. And I guess I believe in that opportunity being made, particularly to people who have already served some time on the board. I certainly wouldn't nominate myself since I consider myself a new person on the board. But I think having different people take that responsibility and having that opportunity is healthy for a board. So that's.
I believe the discussion was that in favor of a democratic process.
Yes.
So it was the will of the board to decide who they wanted without mandating.
I certainly am aware of that long discussion that we had. And we did agree that a democratic process clearly was a good way to go. However, we also had a long discussion about, and some of us favored the possibility of rotating the chairpersonship. And so I'm just stating once again that I believe that that would be a healthier way for a board to operate.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
All right, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
All right. The one opposition, Commissioner Kopp, and four affirmatives. Okay, thank you. I think.
Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks. With my glass of wine.
It was a tough campaign, but.
Okay,
at least we don't have to give you a gold watch.
No, that's true.
Continuing to be the president.
So, board development opportunities. This is, I think what we were thinking of doing was going over the critical questions.
Well, it was a little unclear to Alyssa and me that the note that we made with respect to this, but. I have some recollection that you wanted an annual discussion about resources that might be helpful for the board's development. Mm-hmm. And it could be a 5-second discussion or a 5-minute discussion, but I think you all wanted to at least land on that topic annually, and it's not an unreasonable thing.
Commissioner Call.
What would also be helpful for me would be to, and I confess I haven't done this yet, is to look and see what kind of opportunities are available through through WISHA. I believe early in the year there's a quality or a patient safety, I can't recall exactly what the title of it was, a patient safety or quality seminar, and is that something that's done every year, and is that something that we recommend?
Absolutely. I have a suggestion on tomorrow, actually. Well, Friday, there is the first meeting of the Governing Board Committee for the State Hospital Association that I will be attending. And I can get a plethora of all the opportunities that would be available to us, and I can bring them to the next meeting so that we can have that, have a look-see and start planning some things that we might want to attend or look at.
I believe most of us, if not all of us, attended that meeting in Seattle early in the year, January or February. Is that something that this board routinely attends? It was my first one.
I think it was May.
It was May, it was the safety summit.
Was it May?
Yeah.
It certainly seemed early in the year.
Yes. Yeah. That's usually at the
Okay, so we have plenty of time to look at the calendar.
And I wonder with Cassie Sauer coming in, whether she's going to make changes or offer more or less.
That's true.
And so it'll be interesting to see when she's just taken
We'll look into that. They usually put on the schedule several months ahead.
Yeah.
We'll find out if and when it's been scheduled.
There is a webcast on, what is it, the 10th or 11th?
Yes, the advocacy agenda.
Is
that might be
webcast.
Worthwhile for
yeah,
us
webinar.
to take a look at.
Absolutely. That'd be an action-packed year.
Yeah.
Legislatively.
You say that's the 10th of this month? The webinar for the
It's
advocacy?
On January 11th.
Is it?
Yeah. What time? Noon,
sure.
I think.
Would
it's
you
a
be
webinar.
Able, would you be able to send out a notice on that?
Oh, it's the 10th at noon.
10th at noon.
Mm-hmm. That's WISHA or AWPHD?
WISHA.
WISHA.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so, yes, Commissioner DeLeo?
A couple of sources. The MRSC puts on frequent programs. In fact, they have one on the 17th. Open public meetings and public records boot camp. The AWPHD has webinars available, and QHR is an incredible source. They have one to two webinars a month that are really, really good, well-focused on healthcare issues.
Great. That kind of segues, if we're, is there any more discussion on board opportunities, board development opportunities? No.
And were we going to discuss further the book that you just highlighted there?
We can, if you want to do that. We can start taking a look at chapter by chapter. I think that's what we mentioned that we might like to do.
Just pick a critical question and...
Yeah, and start.
And we could have a little discussion, and we've done it. We've broken the ice on the book.
Yeah.
And if I might recommend, the number one role for this board is patient safety and quality. So we could start on that, because and
sure.
That's what that book highlights. So
does
we could start on that.
Mm-hmm.
On that particular topic.
Yeah.
With respect to board development, what a lot of organizations are doing, public hospital district boards, is that they're sort of identifying two sets of competencies. One set of competency is the fact that we are a public hospital district and subscribe to open public meeting and open public record and all of that stuff. And then another set of competencies is that we are a healthcare organization entering what might be a pretty challenging time and challenging waters to navigate. And while our world is the public hospital district world, it's also true that for every one public hospital district in Washington, there are two non-public hospital districts. Mm-hmm. And so their orientation to governance is how do we continue to be successful as an organization and meet our community's needs? So I would encourage balance in board development resources, because both are important.
And I would say the last presentation, I think we discussed this afterwards last time, the in-depth, very deep dive quality presentation was excellent. And that's the sort of thing I would like to see a little more. It's a pity actually you were away, because it really was very informative, and it just shows the depth and quality that we go to.
And if I recall, the book is by Wishon and not by AWPHD. So I think that particular board book, I'm assuming that it covers enough of the general hospital or healthcare issues that you allude to, Mike.
All right, so do you want to start?
Sure.
Well, I don't know if that's meaningful unless we make some preparation.
Yeah. How about just read one critical question? We don't have to discuss it. Just have like a sample of what type of things we might discuss someday.
Don't get too far ahead.
Somebody. Well, all right. So the questions here, it's written in question format. So why don't we pick a question, and then we'll come back the next meeting with, you know, our next educational meeting with our thoughts.
Or we play Jeopardy. Whoever like goes and says, I got that one.
All right.
You'd be reading the answer if you're playing Jeopardy, right?
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
That's just what we do.
Okay, so you want to start with a quality question. Do you have a suggestion?
I'm not looking at the questions. I think just
well,
pick
why don't you read? Bring why don't you read the question? Isn't there
23
isn't
there, of them?
Isn't number three or four?
All right,
four
you can stop me when I get to one that you like. Okay. What is the board's fiduciary duty? What is the difference between the hospital's mission, values, and vision? how does the board ensure that quality is truly job one? There's a quality one. All right, we got one for that one.
Do we only get one vote, or?
No.
Do we do colored stickers?
You can vote as many as.
This is democracy, right?
I'd be fine with the chair picking whatever is her favorite.
Okay.
Let's see.
How does the board ensure that the right issues are discussed in the right way at the right time? Now, there's a good one.
I think it would be helpful, if you don't mind, Jill, to go through all 23, because I think this is pretty balanced.
It is. Okay, so you wanted to start at the top and go down?
No, just read them.
Oh,
yeah,
read them.
And I think you're probably.
Okay.
And then the board can decide, maybe to pick two.
Okay. Number six is, how does the board ensure strong and effective executive leadership? What is the board's responsibility for planning for the future? How can the board be visionary in an era of uncertainty and transformation? There's a good one. How does the board hold itself accountable for continuous leadership improvement? What's the board's role in building trust and connections with its community? How does the board ensure strong collaboration and partnerships with the medical staff? How should the board gauge the hospital's financial performance? What does it mean to be an effective advocate for your hospital? How does the board ensure successful leadership for tomorrow? How does the board ensure continuous growth in its critical leadership knowledge? How does the board keep conflict out of the boardroom? What are the most prominent health needs in your community? What is the board's responsibility for ensuring the best care for all? What does the community benefit, and what's the board's role in ensuring it? What is population health, and why is it significant? What is the board's responsibility for ensuring a positive workplace culture? What is the board's accountability for ensuring the right organizational structure? What should the board members know about new health care reform payment structure?
That will change tomorrow.
So is anything fly out at you there?
I think the fiduciary responsibility is something as much of a concern as any.
Yeah, start at the top and work down?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right, that makes it easy.
We're only doing one today, right? We're not doing like a bunch of them. Or are we going to do all of them today? And what are we trying to do here?
We're going to study up and think about it, and then come back on our first education. We might be able to take two of these. I mean, this is
yes,
like,
if there's 23 of them, then we only have 12 months.
How about, we all know we're working our way down, so we'll be prepared for like three of them.
Yeah,
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our assignment then. We'll be prepared
for
three of them, and we'll just see how many we get through.
Maybe some of us are already.
And is the thought to do this for the first meeting each month, which is our educational focus meeting? Is that the intent?
Yep.
That is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sound like a plan? Mm-hmm. Commissioner DeLeo?
Might I suggest that we, in effect, have our homework assignment attached to the agenda when it goes out, and maybe some suggested references or reading material to prep up?
Well, I think
it'd be better.
You guys. Yeah, we can. Do you have the book? Do you have this book?
I think I have it at home. Yeah, I didn't read it.
And it is. We did send it out electronically to everybody as well.
And there's a whole bunch of references in here. So you really all, we can remind you what ones we're on, which ones we're on. And
I think that would be helpful.
I have a different version. Is there anything different on the cover?
On the
front cover. But I do have another version of mine.
Critical questions.
And they've added three questions.
Three questions. Okay, so I'm going
to have to get an updated book.
I've got an updated book. I just happen to have this one with me.
Okay.
Critical questions.
So we all should be working with the same book.
Yeah, but I think if we do our own research ahead of time without maybe all looking at the same material, then we have better ideas, different ideas that we can share.
Sure. However, whatever you want to bring to the table, you'll be welcome and encouraged. All right, so we've got that figured out. So board, can we move to board meeting evaluation now? Have you completed an evaluation form yet? Good. Yes?
I think there were 5 questions, but I would like a 6 for comments on the bottom.
Yes.
Just comments?
I made my number 6.
Okay.
Yes, and unless there is a space for comments, you can't add to this PDF unless there's a specific line where you can add to it. So that's why.
Yeah.
That would be good. And just, I mean, maybe just have lines go all the way down to the bottom of the page, and that way.
Okay. Commissioner DeLeo.
Will that send out, could be sent out in maybe a Word format? I have not been able to convert it into something I can fill in the blanks on, so mine's going to be handwritten, so good luck reading it.
I sent you a Word copy later after I received that email today. Okay.
Would you send that to me as well? Although I can do the PDF, yeah. It's a little easier on
the Word. Jeez, you guys.
And then I'm not sure that we even need that second paragraph on the form itself. Because it seems to me after every meeting, we get it to you before the next meeting.
I know, it's actually kind of confusing,
so
I think.
Yeah, it does seem a little confusing to have what meeting, that seems like that's more administrative work.
Yeah.
Somebody has to fill in what meeting and by when. And if we all know that it's got to go, you know, it's got to be turned in within a week of the meeting, maybe that's the thing to say. You know?
Okay, so we can just add more lines and take out that.
That second paragraph.
And just put a line in there to fill in what meeting it is that we're referring it to.
And we'll fill out what meeting we're reporting on. Yeah. You don't have to do that, so it's not.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and then the general idea is that they be turned in within a week of a meeting. That's sort of the policy then, is that?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So did everyone fill out one this time for the December 21st meeting?
Yes.
Okay. And have we given them to Alyssa yet?
No.
All right, we'll give them to Alyssa and then we can... Okay, so we'll take a look at those. And you can, well, you were not here, that's right.
Right.
Okay, so.
Jill, before you go to the primer, if it would please the board, I could give a quick update on an epic downtime episode over the weekend.
Please do.
Work that we're doing.
Jumping anytime, you're always
doing. Okay. So we had, it's not uncommon for there to be epic downtime. We have epic downtime protocols, and whenever there's an upgrade, it's usually this orderly process where it goes down, and we revert to the pre-EMR days until it comes back up again. And then there are sudden downtimes for one reason or another, and usually those last less than an hour, sometimes a couple of hours. Over the weekend, due to a down power line, which disrupted internet service on the peninsula, it disrupted our Epic use. So it was a prolonged downtime, so it stretched the downtime provisions, and the fact that it was on a holiday weekend, there was kind of a thin level of support to help with that. So then it came back up, and it went down again for different reasons the following day. So we had a meeting yesterday to debrief, and I thought it was a very helpful meeting. But what we learned is that there are some, being a peninsula on a peninsula, there are some single points of failure with our internet lines, and I think we, or maybe just administration, underappreciated the reliance of Epic on internet access. So while that doesn't happen very often, this is the first prolonged Epic downtime since we've been up. We are choosing to look at that as a utility similar to our backup generator, that there needs to be a bypass in the event something like this happens. And I think what made it worse over the weekend is that there were several reports of get you up in an hour. Mm-hmm. And that came and went, get you up by 4 o'clock, and that came and went.
How long were we down?
36 hours.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question? Is there a good potential for bypassing, like having did it go over the air?
Yeah, because there are a whole host of carriers, but there are these period spaces where they all travel on one line, and if that line goes down, you have a problem. So a satellite connection is an option that we are looking at. But I think the two purposes of this announcement, one is to let you know that was a longer downtime than we normally see, and staff did a fantastic job managing through it.
There were no patient safety or quality issues?
No, because of, well, Mary Feeney came in and manned the emergency room desk. Randy Manuel was here for a long time. Josh was here. People pulled together. But I think during the debriefing, we hadn't really planned for a downtime that long. So processes that work fine for 2 to 4 hours get stretched for longer than that.
So I wonder, there must be a way to use cellular data as a backup instead of satellite. You're going to get a huge latency from a satellite, but yeah. Cellular doesn't. When internet goes down, it's usually not both cellular and our landlines. They must. Maybe they cheat too, because they would have the towers. They could reroute using towers.
Well, we're looking at that, and then frankly, there were all sorts of these workarounds where the Haiku, which is the modality, the Epic modality, which allows you to access Epic remotely on your cell phone, was working, but not the Epic system in and of itself. Or once some residents of the town got internet access up, they could access their MyChart and kind of come in and have more access to their information than we did. So it was a challenging period, only because we've become so reliant on Epic, and staff did an incredible job managing and hanging in there. And I think we had a great debriefing, and we'll plan for an event that probably won't occur again for another 10 years. But I think we will feel better. To know that we understand what those options are.
Yeah, I mean, plus if we have redundant connection, I mean, we might not have these as many 1 hour downtimes.
Certainly not the unplanned one. Planned ones, yes, where they just shut the system down to insert new modules, but the unplanned ones, and they come for a variety of reasons. But this was the first that was the result of just a power line going down. So that occurred over the weekend and was different than what we've experienced in the past, and we got through it and we learned from it.
At least it was on a kind of a not as busy weekend. No.
Wrong thinking.
Yeah, no. This theory that if we built this new beautiful facility, our patients would come.
Yes.
The good news is that theory is proving to be correct. The challenging news is that over the weekend with Epic down, The staff just really stepped up and did a fantastic job. Emergency department registration.
We had 20 patients in
laboratory, the upstairs.
Very firm, busy inpatient.
Yeah, Tracy Harris, Ken Smith, all of Mary's team just did a terrific job. And I think we learned from it.
It doesn't surprise me at all that they did a terrific job.
So now I'm really looking forward to the nice presentation diagramming how we're having redundant internet.
I got Roger on it, It was a head scratcher to say, tell me again, a car crash in Poulsbo or a hospital in Port Townsend.
But to be honest, in this day and age, it's ridiculous.
Well, this, I thought so. It's somewhat a, it's expensive to,
and this is our,
lay that sort of pipe, and so there's kind of just one pipe that goes out of town.
God, man, it really is.
It's kind of a dump truck to run down.
Commissioner DeLeo?
Mike, is there a way they can do a wireless point to point?
That's what we're looking into. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're looking into all of these different options. It's pretty heavy bandwidth that's going across. But we will look for the most effective and cost-effective.
I'm a serious belt and suspender person. My background in emergency management. I think about more things than just a power pole going down. I think about the earthquake, any one of a number of things that could isolate us here on the peninsula. Anything wireless really gets my attention.
What if we shared something with the emergency services on? They'd be interested in redundant internet.
Well, I know that there's been those local discussions in the past, and we are going to resurface them.
Because I thought there was some major change that was coming, but it's obviously not here yet, where we weren't so reliant on one carrier.
That's what we're going to learn about. Some the other options don't go where we need them to go. But it's in the past, it's been kind of just this hypothetical discussion. Now it's going to be more of a let's create a plan. And
this is the second time, because remember the dump truck took out the internet and the power coming into town.
Yeah,
that was out for hours not too long ago. Well, I suppose in the last 5 years.
Plan it like a once every 3 years event. Once every 3 years catastrophe for the internet connection.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay, sugar, thank you. Thank you for the update. Okay, then the OPMA primer. Alyssa has gone for MRSC, the Municipal Resource Service Committee?
Corporation.
Who is the kind of the watchdog and the guru for all the open public meetings and open public records acts. This is full of information, everything you need to know and then some about all of the regulations, the laws, the tips, the everything regarding open public meetings and open public records. We must complete every 3 years?
Four years. 4 years.
You can do it online. Compliance, it's a compliance mandate that we take a test, and you can go through AWPHD to get it and get a certification for your knowledge of the test. For a test of your knowledge of the laws. So we should probably, it might be beneficial for us to do it together at a meeting, and then we could have discussion following it. If we could set up a date where we could do that at one of our educational meetings, like maybe the first one in February.
I believe there's also a possibility of doing it through the Secretary of State's office. There are some online forms there. And I believe that Susie and I looked at what kind of documentation you need, and really all you need to do, to my knowledge, at least from studying the law, was fill out something that said that you actually had done it. It wasn't like a pass-fail on a test or anything.
Not like a tracked test by some central authority.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that that's required by law, but I'm not saying it's not a good idea to get a certificate, but I was new at the issue, and that's, so Susie directed me to that resource, and that's what I discovered, but perhaps I missed the other option.
Well, would it please the board to have a setup of the audiovisual setup and take the course at the next meeting, educational meeting, and have a discussion following that? And that could be like number two of our fiduciary, speaking of fiduciary duties.
Maybe somebody should run through it first to see if we can actually do it without checking the boxes to go to the next section, because I don't think as a group we could take the test together.
What do you mean?
Well, no, it's frequently those things you have to answer the question, then you go to the next section. So I don't know if we all want to, you know, vote on what A, B, C, or D, or how we want to do that.
One of us check the box.
Yeah, I think it would be an interesting exercise.
I think we're overthinking this.
Oh, B, you got it wrong.
Although if we all got the question wrong, that would be...
You guys would all answer it differently.
We have to make sure someone always uses something different in case we're wrong.
Right. There we go. We'll cover all the bases.
That's hour-long discussion about why the answer that they say is right is not right.
I think we should actually do it on our own and take our test and discuss it a bit.
Did you have anything here on the Public Records Act, or it looks like all the public meetings? Or am I missing something?
Well, there is a, in the second tab, there's a public records section.
Oh, okay.
Tony, so.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So,
are we
deciding that we're all taking the test we're talking about? Are we talking about it's an optional way to meet that requirement.
Right.
But we're talking about a WSHA
test, just a,
or like a certification thing.
You just watch it, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I think I did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, we did it at the Board of Health for one segment of it, and it's, you know, it made it really simple and easy, and then you could ask some questions or to have some discussion.
And this is just for our nighttime study.
Yes. And to carry with you, please.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So you two can have a nice thick book.
Yes. Okay, well then we'll set that up for next educational meeting, the first one of February. Okay.
And then the other questions will be delayed until March?
No, we'll still do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. We're going to pass that.
Okay. Any further items for the good of the order? If not, we could have a motion to conclude.
So maybe
we could leave a little early.
I so move.
So I second. Second.
All right. Discussion? All in favor?
I so say aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
We were totally.
Secretary, I have an idea.
I'm thinking
it would be a good idea for you to find